Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites onthisday.com and Parade Magazine. Question number one. It was on this day that Chubby Checker appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. What unusual thing did he do on stage? Was it A, he sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow while wearing a tutu? He sang and performed The Twist, answer B. Answer C, crooned the song Blue Moon while playing a ukulele? Or D, sang Aloha while demonstrating the Hawaii weight loss chair? Chubby Checker. So, what did he do on Ed Sullivan? And question number two, what legendary pop group got their name from Brothers Gibb? Was that A, the Everly Brothers? Was it B, the Bee Gees? Was it C, the Beach Boys? Or D, the Gibson Brothers? The Brothers Gibb Band. Who did they become, anyhow? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of October 20th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1811, that composer Franz Liszt was born. Liszt was known for such compositions as Mephisto Waltz, reflecting his fascination with the devil. Liszt's birthday today, 1811. And it was 69 years ago today, 1964, that the movie musical My Fair Lady made its world premiere in New York. My Fair Lady, today, 1964. The holidays, starting in October and running through January 1st, are exciting times, for humans maybe, but all the strange noises and explosions can be traumatizing for our pets. Classical music may provide the perfect solution. As explained in this article, Pet Classics, our special program to calm pets. This is published in ClassicFM.com on the 19th of October, 2022. Unexpected sounds like fireworks can be a stressful time for animals because of the loud noises and sudden lights, which is why our show is designed especially for pets. Charlotte has an evening of specially curated soothing music to help calm the nerves of our favorite furry or scaly companions and ease their stress during fireworks. Fireworks may be an exciting time with spectacular displays, but for our pets, the loud bangs and bright lights and unusual sounds can be very scary. Recently, a survey by the RSPCA revealed that 63% of animal owners reported that their pet was distressed during fireworks. Playing relaxing music was the most common way 36%, to help calm or prepare their animal, along with taking their animal elsewhere, 29%. Many kennels and rehoming centers use the power of classical music to decrease stress levels amongst their animals. Classical music has proved time and time again to be the perfect calming antidote for your furry, feathered, or scaly friend, with plenty of science to back this up. A recent 2020 study by the University of Sydney confirmed that, quote-unquote, animals appear less stressed or anxious when exposed to classical music. With fireworks during the holidays, we're keeping creatures calm across the country with our Classic FM's Pet Classics, hosted by Sunday evening presenter and dog owner Charlotte Hawkins and her 10 calming classics for pets, including Elgar's Mina, Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 17 in G Major, Debussy's Reverie, Wagner's Traum, Poulenc's Le Petit Jour, Bizet's Nocturne Carmen Suite No. 2, Saint-Saëns' The Swan, Beethoven's Symphony No. 6 Pastoral, Britten's For I Will Consider My Cat Jeffrey, Rejoice in the Lamb, and last but not least, Gershwin's Promenade, Walkin' the Dog. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Bad Behavior at Concerts is Becoming Normalized, Experts Say. From throwing a wheel of brie at Pink to shouting at performers, fans are becoming more disrespectful. This is published in TheGuardian.com on August the 4th, 2023, by Nadia Komami. Music industry experts are saying that bad behavior at concerts are becoming the new norm after a torrent of incidents where musicians have been hit by items thrown on stage by audience members. Las Vegas police recently dropped a criminal investigation into an incident involving Cardi B, in which the rapper was seen throwing a microphone at a member of the crowd at a concert after a drink was thrown at her. Harry Styles was hit in the eye with a suite in Vienna. Bebe Rexha received stitches after she was hit in the face with a mobile phone in New York. Pink was left stunned when someone threw their mother's ashes on stage in London. And Ava Max was slapped mid-song by a concert goer in L.A. The man charged with the assault over the Rexha incident later said he threw his phone because he thought it would be funny. This kind of disrespectful behavior must stop for the safety of the artist and crowd's safety. Some believe the rise in incidents may be driven by social media, with fans trying to become part of the show in order to post videos that could potentially go viral. Phones, soft toys, food, drinks, flowers, and clothing are some of the more common items thrown by fans on stage. Other behaviors deemed distracting to an artist were flash photography, shouting, and attempting to engage a performer in conversation.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow. Always
Bill Withers' Lean On Me introduces our pop and soul music news. It's titled Remembering My Dad, the Black Godfather. My father, the music executive, Clarence Avant, shaped the sound of more than 50 years of American popular music and my life. But even he needed a little help from his friends. This is written by Nicole Avant, Rolling Stone, October 2023. In the middle of August this year, three legends of the music industry died within 72 hours of each other. Founder of A&M Records, Jerry Moss, music lawyer, Abe Somer, and my father, the Black Godfather himself, Clarence Avant. These three men helped define the recording industry of the past six decades, and what's more, they were inseparable best friends. They met in New York City in the early 60s, and in the six decades since, they never left one another's side. The synchronicity of their passing in the space of only a few days makes me wonder if they just couldn't face being on the planet when one of the others was gone. That's how close they were. Establishing his own label in 1969, Sussex Records, my father helped bring Bill Withers to prominence, as well as Sixto Rodriguez and Dennis Coffey with his seminal track, Scorpio. Money problems, however, piled up, and he could no longer pay Withers, who left Sussex. This broke my father's heart and mine. I had always been devastated at Bill's wedding when I, at age 5, realized he wouldn't, in fact, be marrying me. My family faced losing our house, our entire world, and that's when my father would stumble upon his mantra, "I don't have problems, I have friends." The lives of these three wise men of music were intertwined with such icons as Janis Joplin, Joe Cocker, the Rolling Stones, the Beach Boys, the Mamas and the Papas, Neil Diamond, the Doors, Herb Albert, Cat Stevens, Supertramp, Sex Pistols, Sting, the Police, Janet Jackson, Barry White, and Sheryl Crow, to mention but a few. When I lost my mother and father, I had to lean on a mantra I learned from Sting. When the world is running down, you make the best of what's still around. And as of May 2023, these three wise men of music, Moss, Sommer, and Avant, were still around. That month, they and their extended families gathered at Moss's house for his 88th birthday celebration. Though we didn't know it at the time, this would be the final scene of this extraordinary buddy movie. After 3 months later, these three men, whose friendship have never wavered and who had been at the vanguard of the music business for the past 60 years, would be gone. At one point that day, I saw my father fussing in the space between himself and Moss, and I wondered if he'd dropped his napkin or spilled some food. But no, he had simply slipped his hand into Moss's, and there they sat for the next half hour, holding on to each other like kindergarten besties. Now faced with their imminent end, they sat quietly in the love of each other one last time, neither of them having problems, just friends. Nicole Avant is the author of not only this article in Rolling Stone, but also of the book Think You'll Be Happy, published by HarperCollins on October 17th of this year. Thank you. And in local music news, the North Carolina Symphony's new Mexican-born leader wants everyone to come hear the orchestra. This is written by Richard Stradling in the News and Observer on September 21, 2023. Carlos Miguel Prieto made his Raleigh debut as music director of the NC Symphony Orchestra on September 22nd. Those looking for his imprint on the state's 91-year-old orchestra need look no further than the opening night program. The headlining piece was Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 4, a classical standard. There's also a trumpet concerto by another mainstay, Austrian composer Joseph Haydn. Prieto says he tries to find a place for something new in his programs, whether from his native Mexico or from Scandinavia or Haiti. He loves the classics, but also wants to introduce musicians and audiences to good things from around the world. The orchestra grows by being one foot in its comfort zone, which this week will be Tchaikovsky and perhaps Haydn, he said in an interview, but then puts the other foot outside its comfort zone in a concerto by a living Cuban-American jazz genius that speaks a different language yet is wonderful. As for the audience, Prieto says, I'm not there to put anyone outside their comfort zone. I'm there to make people's comfort zone bigger. Prieto becomes only the sixth music director in the NC Symphony's history. He first conducted the orchestra in 2011 and helped lead it after Grant Llewellyn stepped down after 16 years in 2020. He was music director designate last season. The NC Symphony has largely recovered from the COVID-19 pandemic, which brought a halt to live performances. Though it reached some audiences online, the orchestra had to cancel about 400 performances and music education programs in 2020 and 2021, losing about $11 million in revenue. But audiences are coming back. Last season, attendance was just shy of pre-pandemic levels, and President and CEO Sandy McDonald is optimistic about the future, particularly with Prieto out front. You don't need to understand Mozart to appreciate Mozart. Prieto describes the NC Symphony as world-class, but accessible, easy to get to, and relatively inexpensive. He acknowledges people may hesitate to try the symphony because they didn't grow up with classical music or think that it's for people who aren't like them. They may fret about how to dress or whether they'll clap at the wrong time during a performance. And none of that matters, he says. You don't need to know anything to appreciate this, he said. I always want to invite people because once people lose their fear, they open a whole world that they don't know is there. As a state-supported organization, the Symphony offers 300 concerts, education programs, and community events across the state each year. Prieto's first performance as music director was September 14th at Tryon Palace in New Bern, where the program included music from West Side Story, Superman, and The Jungle Book. Prieto hopes to grow the audience in other ways. This week's pre-concert media tour included an appearance with Flores, the trumpet player on a Spanish-language radio station. Being from Mexico, I'm always very conscious of socioeconomic differences, he said, and I very much like an orchestra to be connected with its community, including those who perceive themselves as on the outside of the community. After practicing their parts on their own, the 66 members of the NC Symphony gathered on the stage at Mymandy Hall on Wednesday morning to rehearse Friday night's program together for the first time. Prieto jumped right into the Tchaikovsky. Over the next 50 minutes, he listened intently as he conducted, occasionally speaking over the music or stopping the musicians to try to coax the sound he wanted, using language they understood. Even the little things sing and elongate. Next time, let's try a bit more bow, not so short, and much more espressivo. And more than once, he told the players, enjoy it. Prieto, 56, grew up in a musical family. He recalled quartet nights as a boy in Mexico City with his uncle and Spanish grandfather on violin, his French grandmother on viola, and his father on cello. Prieto eventually joined them on violin. Prieto was 10 when he first came to North Carolina to spend summers at Camp Siegel, a YMCA camp in Pamlico County near the coast. There is no better place for a Spanish-speaking child to learn English, he says, and he and his wife, Isabel Mariscal, sent their three children to camps Siegel and Seafarer as well. Prieto and Mariscal, a former ballerina with the Mexican National Ballet, will split their time between Raleigh and their primary home in Mexico City. In addition to the NC Symphony, he's still music director of Orquesta Sinfonica and will continue conducting other orchestras around the world. The music he hears and the relationships he makes with other orchestras will benefit the NC Symphony, he says, just as the orchestra learns from guest conductors who come to Raleigh. Prieto expects to spend 14 or 15 weeks working in Raleigh more than anywhere else. The city is vibrant and green, and in his off time, he will explore on his bike and on foot. It's hard to find a more beautiful place, he says, of Umstead State Park. While music was always important to him, Prieto majored in electrical engineering at Princeton University and got an MBA at Harvard. He was working for Pepsi Foods International in Mexico City when he had what he calls a vocational crisis and realized conducting was his calling. His career has taken him around the world, and he tries to learn everywhere he goes. He's still interested in science, another reason he's happy to be in the Triangle, with its tech companies and universities. I would love to go one day to a lab that's discovered a world-class vaccine and see how people think and what they do, he said. That, to me, is an amazing experience. How'd you do on today's important trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this day that Chubby Checker appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. What unusual thing did he do on stage? Was it A, he sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow while wearing a tutu? B, he sang and performed The Twist? C, he crooned the song Blue Moon while wearing and playing a ukulele? Or D, he sang Aloha while demonstrating the Hawaii weight loss chair? Correct answer. Answer B, he sang and performed The Twist. As noted in a 2023 article by Jacob Yuti in AmericanSongwriter.com, one of the things people love about music is the song itself. The melody, the rhythm, the emotion it brings out from you. But another thing, a more specific element that people love about music is dancing. And when a new song introduces a new dance, well, that's sonic bliss. Such was the case with the song The Twist, released in the late 1950s and made famous by singer Chubby Checker. Originally released in 1958, the song was written by Hank Ballard. It was first recorded by Ballard's band, Hank Ballard and the Midnighters, as a B-side to their single, Teardrops on Your Letter. But while Ballard's version was a small hit, hitting number 28 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1960, Checker made it a massive one in 1960. His version hit number one on the Hot 100. The song later became a hit in 1988 when the Fat Boys released a version that hit number two in the UK. In 2018, the song was one of six singles inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame today. Checker is 81 years old today and still dances every chance he gets, including at rock and roll music festivals and on cruises. And the answer to our second question, what legendary pop group got their name from Brothers Gibb? Was it A, the Everly Brothers, B, the Bee Gees, C, the Beach Boys, or D, the Gibson Brothers? Correct answer B, the Bee Gees. As noted in the 522-23 issue of Parade magazine, even though the band's name is spelled B-E-E-G-E-E-S, the first letters are from the original band name, the Brothers Gibb. The Bee Gees were especially known for their disco songs featured in the John Travolta film Saturday Night Fever. The Bee Gees were a musical group formed in 1958 by brothers Barry, Robin, and Maurice Gibbs. The trio were especially successful in popular music in the late 60s and in the early 70s, and later as prominent performers in the disco music era in the mid to late 1970s. So let's close out today's program with a tribute song to this Australian group, the Bee Gees. Here's Night Fever. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.